Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gypsy Poet Radio here on blogtalkradio.com/gypsypoet. I'm the Gypsy Poet, and I'm finally in the center of my universe this afternoon because I have a featured poet. My goodness, this is my domain, my beginning, my starting point, and I'm so happy to have this guest on my show. He is a wonderful word artist, meaning this guy can paint a picture with words. You gotta love him. He's the one and only James Berkowitz. Can you hear me, James? Hello?
I can hear you, Sophia. An honor to be here with you. And firstly, to wish everybody in the listening audience, those in the holiday spirit, a happy Easter and a happy Passover. And for those who are just enjoying, it's a happy Sunday. And some people around different parts of the globe, a happy Monday.
Yes, absolutely. And as I like to say, happy season of miracles. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, wonderful. Okay, let's talk about you. Okay, what I want to talk about is I want to know where you're from originally, first of all, because you sound like you've kind of been around the U.S. from what I understand.
Well, I'm born and raised in Boston, and that is the roots, right up the street from the good old Fenway Park, and those are the roots. It's a truly amazing city, and I'm honored that I came through in this journey from that point. It's a historical place. It has many great roots in history that you just don't find anywhere else in the country, and it's a special place in that manner. And it's also a New England has a very distinct culture that, you know, growing up there, the people, there's a loyalty, there is a very unique relationship with people that I've, it's not the same as in other places in the U.S. That I've lived and visited, so but it's a special place.
Wonderful. So tell me some of the other places that you've lived in the, across the USA.
New York City, Manhattan, in the particular borough, the Upper West Side. I've lived by Central Park. I've lived in Harlem, Washington Heights, and California. I've been in many spots, Los Angeles, where I'm speaking to you at this moment, different sections of the city, and also Santa Barbara, which is an hour and a half north of Los Angeles, and Pacific Grove, California, which is just south of Monterey. Actually, John Steinbeck, he had the small homes, and he was out in Salinas, which is just inland from there. But, that Cannery Row, I lived the book by him just right up the street from there. And primarily it's been in those areas, Sophia.
I can see that. And beautiful areas, too, I might add. And both coasts, mind you. They're wonderful. Is there any particular place that you would like to visit? Any place around the world? Or is like you just want to travel the world? Are there any specific place or places that you would like to attempt that?
I have great interest in travel and the culture. I took my very first trip to Europe in 1995 and spent approximately 2 months over there. I would like to get back and see more of the Eastern Bloc. I would be interested in cities and places such as Prague in Czechoslovakia. And I have a great affinity for water and coastal places. So Bora Bora has been in my mind for quite a while as well. And we'll see how it all unfolds. Definitely places that resonate with the spirit. I've been told by my friends in Hawaii that that type of vibration would be good with my spirit, so I haven't been there yet. So there's definitely more discovery. Istanbul in Turkey, I have a great affinity for different cultures. The Indian culture is also something that I gravitate toward, and there's just so much out there. And then I would like to get to Israel and the Middle East as well. Another area, too, that, there's so much history and roots and origins of so many different cultures and backgrounds.
wonderful. I have to tell you, you tugged at my heartstrings when you mentioned Prague, Czech Republic. The reason why is because I was taught by a wonderful, wonderful composer who lived in Prague by the name of Vyacheslav Rakovsky. He's a wonderful man, and I just found out a few years ago that he passed away. I bring that up because it, I've seen pictures of that area, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city. And I was once invited to go to Prague, but due to my circumstance at the time, I was still in school. It would have been a great opportunity, but you know, it was not. I was not ready for it just yet. But that is a place that I have in my heart to visit because of my teacher. So that I really hold that place very close to my heart. So I'm glad you brought that up. So there's a common place that both of us would like to visit. So wonderful. You have recently been published, and I'm very excited to talk about this.
Yeah, San Francisco Peace and Hope is a newly published literary journal devoted to poetry and art. The cover, which is just a beautiful painting, Jeannie Motherwell, who is based in the Boston area, and edited by Elizabeth Hack. And she has done the love that is put into this book. When I received it in the mail the other week, it was so moving just to have it in my hand and to look at it and feel it in the pages and the intention, which is so important and an area that when I'm submitting work, to line up with someone else's vision and intention. And this was just a beautiful collaboration with a foreword by former California Poet Laureate Al Young. And it comprises of approximately 85 poets in the book. And the artwork, what took place after going through the submissions process and being accepted, I was paired with a artist named Carolyn Warmson, who from my readings is based in the Oakland area, or up in the hills of Oakland. And she is known for painting the suns. And she does like abstract, to me it's abstract, with all due respect to the artist, she may have a different viewpoint if she hears it or someone else hears it, but it was a very moving image and work. And Elizabeth paired us together because the piece is called The Inner Sun.
Yes.
So that collaboration of fusing art and poetry with image and the spirit and bringing hope and lifting it. It's just a perfect collaboration. So I'm very grateful to be part of this. It's a beautiful book. And as of the moment, you can order, like I have on my website, and you know we can always detail that towards the end of the show when we're going through links and things like that. But I do have that on my website, jamesberkowitz.com, under the books tab, where if you click on an order form, would go directly to Elizabeth Hack. And they're looking at, from my communication with her during the past week, getting the book into a few stores up in the Bay Area. However, this is just a marvelous collaboration and very inspiring when that type of energy comes together. To put something into form where you can connect with it.
Absolutely. I understand that. And it's that's a beautiful combination of poetry and art because that's where word painting comes together for me. So I love that. What are some of the have you ever been published in an anthology before? And if so, which ones?
Well, this past year in 2014, the Revolutionary Poets Brigade, edited and published by Mark Littman, is for Los Angeles poets. He brought together he's a moving force here in L.A. He does a lot of good work. He is an activist socially and politically, and wanting to bring the awareness through the artists and the expression. And it's a very powerful book with many talented and gifted poets from the Los Angeles area. Two pieces were chosen for that. One I would like to read later in the show called A Saint in the City, and another called In Honor of Woman.
Mm.
And that was during last year. There was another anthology, April Skies, who is a publisher here in Los Angeles, and she's also a very talented poet and writer. She has a publishing company called Edgar and Lenore's, and the anthology is called Men in the Company of Women, and it was a poem called The Deep Wet Cafe Kiss, which is a romantic poem, and tying in with what we're discussing with painting, my approach to that was literally in a cafe in New York City, Cafe La Fortuna, which is a place where John Lennon and Yoko Ono used to hang out. This was on, I believe it was 71st Street, between Central Park West and Columbus Ave. It's no longer there. And it was a very special place that I used to go and write, and I saw a couple at the next table, and I was so inspired by the way they communicated with each other and their body language that I said, well, I'm going to experiment with this. I was, you know, the words were coming to me, and I said, I'm like a, you know, when a painter is watching a subject, and that's how that particular poem came to being. So these are a couple of the anthologies, and that was, I believe, 2013. I might be lost for time here as far as chronologically, but definitely Revolutionary Poets Brigade was 2014. So this is just recent for me, being published into anthologies, and so it's exciting in that manner.
Oh, it is. It's an awesome thing to be put in an anthology, so that hits close to home, too. What kind of experience do you feel after reading one of your pieces in front of an audience? Or have you done that?
I love live performance. It is, you know, depending where you are, it's a very, the emotion for me, it's exaltation. I'm really into it. I look at it as live theater. And also, I always think of, like, the energy of the rock band The Who, with the theater stage, where, you know, you're in the midst of a great play or musical, and you're taken to the heights of human emotion for a particular piece. I do my best in a live performance to memorize my sets, and I call them a set because my background was in the Boston music scene, managing and promoting and music, and I always was around that. So when I perform live, I have a set list like a band, and I put it on a monitor, you know. And that way, almost like a band, I can, depending on what's happening with the crowd, I can move pieces or switch things. I read the audience. I pay attention to how people are reacting. So this is important in live performance. Standing with just a book in your hand, maybe one piece or something like this. I know the photo we have, you know, for the event. I happen to read out of the book. However, in that particular performance, after that one piece out of the book, I was, you know, memorization. So this frees an individual up and an artist up to express themselves physically. Again, I think of James Brown. I think of Tina Turner. I think of, you know, Mick Jagger. You look at people who engage the audience. They know their material, and they're free to move and express it physically as well. So that is very powerful, and you'll find that, and also engaging the audience, rather than you're just reading and performing and just saying what you have in mind, I bring the audience into it, whether you're snapping fingers, whether there's a call and response, you go back to the tribal. And there's a piece that I read called The Summer Echoes On and On. And I have people repeat on and on at a particular moment as I'm going through the piece. So, and it's also, the words are, the music of the soul is stirring. So bringing people into it as part of your performance takes it to a whole another level as well.
Yes, exactly. The way that I see that is when you read your poetry, you're taking it off the page and bringing it to the audience. If it's, for me, if it's just on paper, it's dead letters. It's when you actually read it to an audience when it actually comes alive. So I'm definitely with you there. I want to get to one more question, then we're going to get into your poetry itself here. The last question I have is, who or what was your influence and or inspiration and or mentor to get you interested in writing poetry?
This started really through listening to music as a kid. And I, you know, the AM radio I had years ago, we had, you know, Panasonic, the company, had a what was called a Tootaloop radio. It used to turn like into an S shape, and they would have an AM dial. In Boston, the big music station growing up for many people in my age demographic was WRKO, it was 68 RKO, and they played the contemporary rock music from that time period, in late 60s, early 70s, before going to the FM, with the longer radio and playing format. I would also go to libraries, because at that time you didn't have the access like you do today to computers or look up lyrics and do all of this. So, you hear a song, sometimes you're like, what are they saying? Or people, you'd have a laugh with different friends where you thought someone said something, and years later you found out it was something different. I would look up music and also the storytelling. I mean, Bob Dylan, Gordon Lightfoot, Joni Mitchell. I was always gravitating towards what I consider really great artists who just brilliant minds that were able to fuse all of that together, voice, music, sound, writing. And growing up in New England, Robert Frost, we grew up with a lot of classic, folks, I would go back and even read 19th century poems, and then Ralph Waldo Emerson and folks like this. You get schooled early over there, and plus these are places that, these people dwelled, and then you step into it, but you can resonate when you're there with that. So many roots in that area between the music and the lyrics. I love The Doors, like My Fire is one of my favorite songs, and hearing that as a kid, even on the short version for the radio airplay, and then once you hit the album version, then it's, oh my God, it's just, it takes me to another planet.
Awesome.
A special place. So, yeah.
Amazing.
Were you about to ask?
No, I'm agreeing with you, first of all. And second of all, I want to get into your poetry. I'd like for you to read some of your material. So I'm really eager to listen in on this. I think your stuff is amazing, especially the poem that you showed me from your website. That really does speak, and you have a very strong command of the language. So I'm, like I said, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, let's start with The Inner Sun, published in San Francisco Peace and Hope, and this is just, just to hold the book in my hand, I said, for the show, to hold the beautiful energy that went into making this and the love. So, The Inner Sun. The inner sun rises from deep within the soul, bringing all that comes with the dawn. It shines brightly through the eyes while glowing around the body during its peak. At sunset, it evokes a light beam of energy that pierces through the dusk at an exponential power and shimmers with ultimate passion amidst the stars. This next piece is a new poem and it's titled Tears for Peace. Mm-hmm. Tears for peace run down the face of humanity. Crying wounds of hate seek impossible escape. When the light of the soul quenches the darkness of barbaric ways, tears for peace run down the face of humanity. Oh, sweet world, gift of life and mind, remove evil teachings from the eyes of humankind. Lift us from the dust of earth, return us from the heavenly sky. Embrace the call to oneness in the sharing of eternal life. Tears for peace run down the face of humanity. Down the face of humanity run tears for peace. Tears for peace. Peace for tears. Tears for peace. Peace for tears.
That is really good.
Thank you,
very substantial. Yes, very substantial writing, and very well read. I hear a lot of the ancient Greek way of reading poetry, and I think it's kind of a lost art. And you revived it very well in your reading. You do, and it is very, very well said, very well written, and I anticipate to see more, much more.
Thank you. This year is called A Saint in the City. It is published in the Revolutionary Poets Brigade anthology, mm-hmm. edited by Mark Littman. It will also mm-hmm. be upcoming published as part of Los Angeles Poets Society, their mm-hmm. Chapbook features. And the features, I was one of the featured readers at one of the events. So they're putting an anthology together later this year. And this will be one of three pieces. It's called A Saint in the City.
Okay.
Unnoticed, he travels the sidewalks and alleyways, sharing leftover food and pocket change to those in despair standing on corners, living out of shopping carts and shuffling to keep warm. No recognition, accolades, or media-worthy story attention is given, but the action takes place. He dries the tears and wipes the dirt from faces with restaurant napkin, consoling the unfortunate without therapist prices. This unknown person carries on with charitable work sacred to those who receive. The dire streets are his place of worship for those forgotten. No titles or distinction are necessary, and a mere thank you is suffice. Many will never know of his whereabouts, but he exists. He is the evolution of endless time, the Buddha, Jesus, Mohammed, and all thoughts of greatness beyond the human eye and brain. He is the saint in the city, cloaked in a robe of heart and compassion. A saint in the city, amongst you and me and you and everyone we know, a saint in the city, walking in love and light.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Very much so. Very much
and
so.
And as I see the time, I would like to read from the upcoming Edgar Allan Poet Journal Number 3 anthology, which will also have a tribute to Scott Wahnberg and Wanda Coleman, published by April Skies and Edgar and Lenore Publishing House here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with guns and violence, which is it's so disheartening on a daily basis what we're encountering here and in the States. And so this is called Sometimes When Alone.
Mm-hmm.
And a sip of water in between.
mm-hmm. Of course.
Sometimes, when alone, the wonder of your lips caresses my mind and soothes the troubles of a violent world. where bullets pass through life from a trigger finger crying for love, whose path gone awry set the stage for mass killing and human atrocity, sent into thin air as smoke signals from a smoldering gun. Sometimes, when alone, the soft touch of your hair draped across my body protects and shields a delicate heart from the rampant ills of society, where a breath of life creates an arched rainbow of awareness across the blood-red sky of humanity, falling in a blanket of ash from the bones and skin of a smoldering gun. Sometimes, when alone, the sound of your beating heart into my ear brings the comfort of a child nestled against a mother's bosom, whose milk has flowed throughout the history of all creation, whose love poured from nipple to mouth devoured any thought of weaponry, whose child reared never needed a gun, whose child grown into maturity never needed war. And one short piece before we close out with the information, just to lift the, keep the spirit uplifting. This is called One Language Called Harmony, which will also should be in the LA Poet Society book as well.
Yes.
One Language Called Harmony transcended the borders of native speaking tongues and carried a melodious tune around the globe. One heart pulsed harmony, carrying a beat in lifelong rhythm, transcending the drum of the soul. One language called harmony. Harmony called a language of one. A language of one. A language of the heart. The heart of a language called one. Thank you very much.
Absolutely amazing poetry and a great afternoon. You made my afternoon, I'll tell you that. Absolutely. I await to see more from you. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you listening in, I would recommend that you visit James Berkowitz's website, and which it would be at jamesberkowitz.com, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct.
Correct, okay. And please
and
check him out on
And Berkowitz, because sometimes the name people get the CZ or different variations you get.
Of course. I ask that you please check out jamesberkowitz.com, and I will have it posted on my Facebook page later. And please check out anything and everything that he mentioned on the program this, earlier this afternoon on the publishings and his writings. I am so eager to find out much more. So to find out more, you can always go back to the BTR website and listen in on the archives. And it's going to be published on iTunes in about 15 minutes. So be on watch for that. Be aware of that. And anything and everything James Berkowitz is going to be on Facebook. It's going to be, do you have a Twitter page as well?
I do. It's under, it has my name, and then my handle is SRIBERKY writer.
Wonderful. Okay, so please
yeah.
be sure and check him out on Twitter as well, and everywhere else you can. I mean, Google the man; he's everywhere. Who isn't these days? But especially Mr. Berkowitz, please check him out. And I anticipate so much more coming from you with your anthologies, and I hope you have a full volume published in 2015. I'm eager to see that. Absolutely wonderful stuff. Great readings, great poetry, and also it wouldn't surprise. Surprise me if somebody videotaped him and put him on YouTube. So please be sure and check him out where you can. Absolutely awesome afternoon, great poetry, great material, fabulous stuff at hand here on GPR, on BTR. So I am the Gypsy Poet signing off saying adio for now.
Bye.